Welcome to the HR Power Hour, presented by Career Management Associates. I'm David Chulo. It's about all things in the human resource world. We're going to bring in local, regional, and national guests, and we're going to talk about a variety of topics and explain why human resource management is critical to your business success so that you can make decisions to keep and retain great talent. This week on the HR Power Hour, we're going to be talking with Chris Sinclair. He is with FranChoice. Have you ever thought of franchising as a career alternative? We're going to talk all about it today. Chris, welcome to the show.
David, thanks for having me. It's my pleasure to be here.
You know, franchising, the first thing that pops into my mind is McDonald's. Why is that?
You know, David, it's interesting that you say that, because if you and I walked outside of the studio right now and we pulled the first 10 people aside that we found and we asked them, what does franchising mean to you? I would bet most of those people would mention something related to either a food business or a retail business, because that's the common theme that people associate with franchising.
There's no question about it. I mean, because, let's be honest, a lot of the most successful franchises in terms of over history have been in the food area, correct? Subway?
There's no doubt McDonald's. About it. Look, if we look at food establishments, David, a lot of those food establishments over time have become franchise businesses that have been fantastically successful. If you look at McDonald's and Burger King and Wendy's, these are all companies that have thousands of locations, are very successful businesses, and everybody knows those names. But what's interesting about franchising, David, is it goes far deeper than that. It's not just food. It's not just retail. Franchising is very diverse in terms of the industry spaces that it touches. So, for example, think about healthcare for a minute. Healthcare is something that we normally associate with our local doctor's office or our local hospital. But in the healthcare space, franchising has a lot of membership. There's in the hearing aid space, for example, Zounds is a terrific franchise that sells hearing aids. It's a retail-based business. It's a franchise. People don't think about that. If you think about home services, you know, there are a whole assortment of home businesses that are franchise-based. One of the most successful is CertaPro Painters. It's a painting company, but it's a franchise with almost 1,000 locations around the country. So franchising is very diverse in the industry spaces as well as the number of locations across the country.
So when somebody is saying to themselves, okay, you know what, I've been working at a job for a while, I'm starting to think about a new career, I've got a lot of different options, you know, I can continue to be employed, I can maybe I'm even thinking of starting a business, maybe I'm going to buy a business, maybe I could do this. Franchising is one of those options. Why should somebody really give that the consideration?
So I think, David, look, as we start our careers, almost all of us start our careers as employees. It's a great training ground for us. It allows us to develop a skill set. But I think most importantly, that base as an employee allows us to determine what we do and don't like about things. This is very similar to why people don't buy a house immediately out of college. They want to figure out what city they want to live in. Once they figure out what city, they want to figure out what neighborhood they want to live in. And then they want to figure out what kind of house they want to have. It's the same thing when you're considering migrating your career from employment into some type of business ownership. You first have to figure out what you want to do before you really want to make a big investment and dig into something by starting your own business. But once you do make that choice that you want to jump over from employment to business ownership, then you have a whole different assortment of choices. You've got choices about whether or not you'd like to start your own company, whether you want to buy an existing business, or whether you want to purchase a franchise.
When you're thinking or talking to individuals and they're really giving it consideration and thought, what are some of the misconceptions? You talked a little bit about it in a few minutes ago about it not being all food and retail. But what are some of the big misconceptions or big challenges that individuals have in their mind that you have to overcome with them?
So I think there's really three big misconceptions, David. I think one is people need to break down their barrier to it, thinking it just about food and retail, and open their eyes to the fact that there's a lot of industry spaces where a franchise business can be an effective player in that space. You know, we talked about healthcare, we talked about home services, but fitness is a great industry space where franchising is a terrific way to enter into that space. The automotive industry is another great space where there's a lot of very successful franchise businesses. There are aftermarket repair businesses such as Jiffy Lube, Meineke, Maaco. There's also car dealerships. Those are franchises. There's also, if you want to think of a very big business that kind of breaks that mold of food and retail, think about a hotel. Most hotel chains, Comfort Inn, Marriott, Holiday Inn, those are all franchises as well. So I think that's one of the first misconceptions that people need to break down, is understanding the industry barriers. The second one, David, that I always have to work with folks on is to understand that franchising isn't expensive. Because people come to the table with that bias of thinking about McDonald's as the first franchise that they think of, they think of brick-and-mortar, big building, drive-through, lots of land, lots of equipment, and they think all of that has dollar signs attached to it. What I try to encourage people to do is to back off of that and say, okay, McDonald's is a franchise, and it's very expensive, but that's really at the high end of the range for investment level to get into a franchise. David, I'll tell you that there are scores of very successful franchise brands where the total investment to become involved in that business is less than $100,000. And these are not businesses that are going to be here today and gone tomorrow. These are brands that have been around for 10, 20, 30 years, have hundreds or thousands of owners. They just happen to have a business model that doesn't require a lot of capital to start up. The third misconception about franchising, David, that when I hear it, I kind of smile because I hear it so often, is people will say, I don't want to buy a franchise. That's just buying a job. And, David, it couldn't be further from the truth. The interesting part is if you start looking into franchising, what you'll find is that the majority of the owners who step into buying one franchise location of one business will almost always over time purchase additional locations in the same business and expand their business. They're frequently going to purchase into a second or a third franchise brand to expand their business into multiple industries. And the result of that over time is that those business owners move into a CEO's role. They stop becoming in the store, active on a day-to-day basis, and they start becoming strategists. They start becoming executives. And so over time, I think what you'll find, David, is that people who go into franchising have a built-in plan to be able to build a scalable business and really be able to become an executive in that particular company.
You know, it's interesting. You talk about those big three. You know, it's not all food and retail. It's not too expensive. And it doesn't have to be buying a job. Those are very critical parts of it. But there is a kind of a misconception, I suppose, that also that it's going to cost you money to pay the franchisee every single year. And that is a piece of your profit that you can't take, you know, or into the business, or that you're going to be on the hook for. How often do you hear that as an issue?
So, David, when you are purchasing into a franchise, there's really two payments that you're going to be making to a franchisor company. The first is upfront, you're going to be paying a franchise fee. That's a one-time fee. And the purpose of that fee is to facilitate that franchisor training you to operate their system and helping you to get the doors open. That's going to involve site location, it's going to involve training and support. And so that's the initial investment that you're making in your business to get it off the ground quickly. In addition to the upfront franchise fee, there is an ongoing royalty rate that is paid from you as the franchise owner to the franchise company. That varies in every system around, but David, I'll tell you, in most cases, that number is going to range from 6 to 8% of your revenue. That's what you're going to pay as a royalty rate. What I always tell people when they bring up the question of, I don't want to pay a royalty, I'm giving away my money. What I encourage them to do instead is to look at that royalty and put that on one side of a paper, and on the other side, make a list of all of the services that that franchise company is providing to them at no additional charge. It could be training, it could be ongoing support, it could be technical support, it could be software, it could be marketing support. Make a list of all of those services, and then assign a dollar value to what you think those services would cost you if you had to buy them outside of the franchise. And then compare the royalty that you're paying to those services. I think what you'll find in almost all cases, David, is that because the franchise system is able to spread that cost over hundreds or thousands of stores, they can provide that service to you much less expensively than you could buy it for yourself. And so I look at the royalty, instead of being money that you're paying to the franchisor that's wasted, I look at it as just another line item expense in your income statement that's replacing a whole assortment of individual line items.
Banks also appreciate the fact that they can lend money when it comes to franchises, don't they?
Banks love franchises. And there's a real simple reason for this, David. You know, my dad was a commercial lender, and my dad always would spend time talking to us about at dinner about different businesses that he had looked at during the day, different business owners that he had talked to. But the conversation always came back to a conversation about risk. When a lender is providing money to any business owner, they're making an evaluation of the risk of them not getting paid back. Banks love franchises because they can look at the history of other franchise locations within that same system and look at the track record that those businesses have, and it gives them a lot more safety and a lot more assurance that they're making a good loan. So even though your particular franchise might be a startup, the fact that it's inside of a franchise system is giving the bank a whole lot more assurance that it's a good loan, that the business is going to succeed, and that they're going to be paid back when they expect to be.
We're talking with Chris Sinkar. He's a franchise consultant with Franchoice. You're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLLB, and we will be right back.
Founded in 1958, Jackson Lewis is a national law firm with a local presence. The firm's 765 attorneys practicing in 54 locations throughout the U.S. and Puerto Rico provide a wide range of resources to address every aspect of the employer-employee relationship. HR professionals, business and in-house counsels, and C-suite professionals count on Jackson Lewis as it has one of the most active employee litigation practices in the United States. Contact them today at jacksonlewis.com. That's jacksonlewis.com.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour presented by CMAKorea.com. Today we're talking with Chris Sinkar. He's a franchise consultant with Franchoice, and today we're talking about franchising as one career alternative. Chris, thank you for being on the show.
David, again, it's my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
You know, certainly you and I have had many conversations about this because obviously you provide information to a lot of the individuals who are looking at career transition over their next move, whether by choice of their own or by choice of an organization having a layoff or a downsizing. You know, one of the things that people say is, why would I be doing this in the first place? Why would I go after something that's already out there? Why would I take the time and energy to think about a franchise rather than building my own business?
You know, David, I think one of the easiest things to understand in franchising is franchising gives you a head start on starting your business. So I look at career choices this way. All of us start our careers on one highway, which is employment. At some point, we're going to get to a stopping point, and we're going to take a break, we're going to stretch our legs, and then we're going to evaluate what that next step in our career should be. If you decide that you want to change roads and you want to become a business owner, I think that franchising gives you an interesting opportunity to be able to combine the power and the opportunity of a startup with the safety of something that's already existing. And I think franchising does the best of combining both of those together. You're taking an established business model that a franchise company has already developed, they've refined, and they've proven to work over and over again in multiple locations. And now you're taking that plan, and you're implementing it locally in one individual market. So I think that franchising allows you the benefits of business ownership without having to take all the risks of starting up a business from scratch. It's a nice in-between.
So somebody makes that decision. They say, okay, I'm going to research into this. I'm going to look a little bit about it. How does somebody go about really choosing a franchise? There's thousands, tens of thousands, probably hundreds of thousands. How do I make that choice?
You know, it's, David, there are, in the United States right now, if you and I sat down right now and we started making a list of every franchise we could think about, we might get to a list of maybe 100, maybe 150. The reality is, in the U.S. right now, there's more than 2,000 different franchises. So choosing one of these is really a process of elimination. And I like to compare this to a couple going out looking for a house. All right. When you start looking for a house, David, you know that you want to move out of an apartment and you want to move into a house. Okay, that's the objective of you saying, I want to move out of being an employee and being a business owner. Now the question is, how do we set up the criteria to start going to look for a house?
Chris, that's pretty simple. All you do is you ask your wife. It's very simple.
That works in just about everything.
It's a very simple process for me. Very simple. I ask, I get told, and I obey. That's very
react.
Simple,
that's
and
right.
I react to it. Yes, very simple. I'm just kidding, but go ahead.
That is true.
Go ahead.
So when you're asking your wife what she wants in a house, some of those things are going to be, what school district do you want to live in? How many bedrooms do you want? What size yard do you want? Do you need a garage that has one car, two car, or two cars and all the kids' stuff? So as you start going through, you're going to build a criteria list. You do exactly the same thing when you're starting to screen through franchises. And I think that as you might look at a house and say, okay, my top three questions that I need to answer are, what neighborhood do I want to live in? How many bedrooms do I want? And do I need a big yard or not? In franchising, I think those big three questions that you have to ask are, what role do I want to have as the owner of the business? The second question is, what role am I going to play in the sales process? And then the third piece is, what do the economics of that business look like? So if I could for a minute, David, let me dig into those a little bit more.
Sure,
and talk
please.
About each of those points, because I think those are really the central part of this search process. So when you talk about the owner's role in the business, I think that there's really three different categories to think about. So let's take the most basic model. You could have a model where the owner is going to be the center point of that business. All right. So if we think about this in a non-franchise setting, an owner-operator model would be like a person who owns a bakery and is also the baker. You know, when I was a kid, David, every Friday afternoon, my mom used to pack us in the car after school, and we would drive to the same bakery, and we would buy donuts for Saturday morning breakfast. The gentleman who ran this bakery, he was the baker, he was the counter guy, he was the floor sweeper, he was the whole business. That's a definition of an owner-operator business. In franchising, an example of that would be a business like Budget Blinds. Budget Blinds is a business that provides window coverings primarily to homeowners in their homes. The owner of that business is the person who will come out to your house and consult with you and measure your windows And then we'll also hire an installer to come out and actually install the blinds once they're in. So I think that's the first example of an owner's role in the business. In an owner-operator model, where the owner is really the center point of the business.
It makes a lot of sense.
Now, there's a lot of people who say, look, I don't want to be my whole business. All right, so then we back up a little bit, we go arm's length, and we say, okay, the next owner's role in the business might be as an executive owner, where you're going to be active in the business every day as the owner, but you're going to have a management team of one, two, three, four people who are actually doing all the frontline work in the business. So your role in the business as an executive owner in a franchise becomes more leadership, team building, financial management, those types of things. And so a good example of this might be a business like ServPro. So ServPro is a business, David, where they respond to disasters in people's homes, broken pipes, floods, fires. And they will send a team of people into the home to actually do the remediation work. The owner of the business is almost never inside of someone's home. They have a sales team that develops relationships. They have a production manager who actually dispatches the team and manages the production process. The owner's role is team building, financial management, and strategy. So that's, once again, it's a little bit more removed from the action. There's also, David, franchises where you can be very removed from the action. And we consider these to be semi-absentee businesses. In a semi-absentee business, David, you don't have a daily role in the business. So a good example of thinking about this would be a business like Supercuts or Great Clips, where it's retail-based hair care. You, as the owner, are not expected to go in and cut hair. Thank goodness.
Thank God for that.
Yes. But what you do is you hire a manager who's also a stylist who can not only do cuts, but can also manage and train and supervise a team of other stylists in the business. And so, once again, your role in the business gets one more step removed from the action, and now you're managing that team of managers in your stores. You're performing financial management. You're driving the marketing program. So I think that this is kind of the first criteria, Dave. This is, what neighborhood do you want to live in? It's, what kind of owner's role do you want to have in the business?
When somebody says, well, part-time owner, you know, what is the responsibility of that part-time owner? It still comes back to them officially, though, doesn't it?
At the end of the day, that owner has to be responsible for driving the success of the business. There's no doubt about that, David. But what I want them to realize is you don't have to do that alone. That's why you bring in a team. That's why you build a larger staff, because it allows you over time to be able to scale into multiple locations. If you think about Supercuts as an example, a Supercuts business owner, the average franchise owner in that system owns six locations, not one, not two. They own six. And it's because the systems are in place to allow the manager to run the store on a day-to-day basis and allow the owner to run the business, not inside the store.
All right, so now I've decided, okay, I want to be a typical owner. I want to take on, for example, a sales role or an owner's role or a part-time income or investment type role. Now I need to look into the actual companies themselves. How do I do that, and how? Because it does seem overwhelming.
The process of investigating a franchise, David, if we go back to this comparison of starting to look at houses, I will tell you that it's a very similar process. So when you and your wife go out to look for a new house that she told you you're going to look for, the first thing that you're going to do is you're going to actually tour through the business. And the way that you do that in franchising is you start talking to a representative of the company, and they start educating you about the business. They start telling you about the customers of the business. They tell you about the operating role. They tell you about the technology. They tell you about the marketing program. And so the first step in the process of educating yourself about a franchise is you start learning the basics of that particular business. But before you can even get to that, David, you need to identify what companies should we be looking at. And that process is really one of elimination. And that's where, you know, using a franchise consultant or using some other type of advisor will help you narrow in on what businesses match the profile that you want, will provide the income, will provide the owner's role, will provide the type of sales function that's attractive to you in the business.
So once I've made that decision and saying, okay, this has some interest to me, what exactly are some of the key points that I have to look at? I mean, certainly cost is one of them. Certainly success of it is. Can I talk to other owners? Can I talk to other franchisee members? What are some of the restrictions that are placed upon me to getting that information? Or are there any?
So what's really interesting about franchising, David, is it is a really open book in franchising. If you wanted to investigate a particular franchise brand, so let's take Subway as an example, because everybody knows about Subway. Let's assume that you decided you wanted to become an owner of Subway and that matched the profile that you were looking for. The first thing that you're going to do, David, is you're going to spend some time talking to the franchise development team at Subway. They're going to educate you about the nitty-gritty of the business, really help you to understand it from the inside out. The next thing that you're going to do is they're going to provide you with a document called the Franchise Disclosure Document, the FDD. And this FDD, David, is going to provide an exhaustive amount of information about the franchise. It's going to provide information about how much money is required to open the business. It's going to provide information about the average income that each store produces. Going to provide income about the history of the company, the executive officers of the business, their litigation history. But most importantly, the last item in that document, it's going to provide a complete list of every franchise owner in that system and their contact information. So in reviewing the FDD, David, you're going to get an idea of how much does this business cost, what's the income that I could expect to make, what's the performance history of the business? How many of these have opened and closed over the last 3 years? And they'll give you a total of each of those, year by year, state by state. But then, once you've reviewed the FDD, pick up the phone and start calling franchise owners. Walk into stores and make an appointment to see the owner and ask them questions. It is a complete open book with franchising. And so you really, truly have the opportunity to evaluate that business by talking to as many owners as you want to about their own personal experiences.
When you're talking to the owners, what are some of the, can you ask questions like, hey, what is your true margin? What are your sales? Do you have to sign a confidentiality agreement? How are some of the basic fundamental questions that you can ask? Or are those restricted at all?
There's no restrictions at all, David. I think the only restrictions that you'll find are interpersonal ones. So if you went out and said that you wanted to interview 10 Subway franchise owners, contact them, make an appointment, go in and meet them, or do it over the phone, I think you'll find that some portion of those owners, just because of their personalities, will be more open and more forthcoming with information than others. And that's fine. Everybody has their own personal bias. There's no restrictions on what you can ask. There's no restrictions on what they can and cannot provide to you. It is completely open, and I think you'll find that some of those owners will be exceptionally free with information. They'll be willing to openly share financial information, operating information, allow you to talk to their team, and really dig into detail and understand their business from a very grassroots level.
What are some of the things that the franchisees are going to be looking about you? You know, background, history, do you need to have managerial experience? What are some of the things that they're going to be looking for the individual to have to bring them on as franchisors?
So I think that what you have to realize if you're going to look at a franchise, David, is that it's a two-way street. Franchising at its core is a partnership, and it's a partnership between the franchise company and the new potential franchise owner. Each partner has to choose the other. And so as you go through the evaluation, you are choosing whether you want to be business partners with that franchise company. But always remember, they're choosing you back. And so as you go through the process, it's important that you present yourself as being somebody they want to be business partners with, that you're going to be responsible, that you are properly capitalized to be in that business, that you've got a skill set. You don't necessarily need to have a skill set in that industry space. So if you wanted to buy a Subway, that doesn't mean you had to run a sub shop before. It doesn't mean you need food experience. But what it probably does mean is that you've had some team building experience before, that you've been able to manage a team of people successfully, that you've had financial management capabilities in your past. And so the franchise company is absolutely looking at you and trying to evaluate whether they think you would be a successful owner based on the skills that you bring to the table.
We're talking with Chris Sinkar. He is the franchise consultant for Franchoice. And we're going to be right back. You're listening to the HR Power Hour on Newstalk WLOB. Running a company can feel like you're surrounded. A key person quits. A big project presents itself. You need good people fast. Hello, I'm David Chulo of Career Management Associates. Our contract staffing service will fill a position or find the right talent for a short-term project. Hundreds of companies choose us because we deliver people that fit. Career Management Associates, your contract staffing solution. Go to cmacareer.com.
If you'd like to be a guest on the HR Power Hour or be a show sponsor, send David an email today at info@hrpowerhour.com.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour presented by cmacareer.com. And today we've been talking with Chris Sinkar. He is the Franchoice Consultant for Franchoice Franchising. Look at that. Look at that. What we're talking about, Chris. We're talking about franchises. This is exciting possibilities.
David, I got to tell you, I've been a business owner for a long time. And franchising was something that at the beginning of my career, I didn't really give much consideration to. But as I've gone on and kind of had more experiences in business, franchising has really kind of, it's opened my eyes to the role that it plays and how it can help people transition from employment into business ownership. It's really a nice, smooth bridge to get across that river.
So, you know, let's take a few seconds here. I think it's important for the audience to understand where you're coming from, how you got into this, and why you're presenting this material today.
Okay, so to give you a little bit of background about me, David, I'm a CPA by training.
I apologize.
But as we say in the CPA space, I'm a recovering CPA because I haven't been in public practice since the very early years of my career. I spent the first portion of my career at Arthur Andersen, and I spent about 5 years there, which was a great experience for me. But I realized early on in my career that I knew I didn't want to grow up and be in public accounting for the next 30 years of my career. And so I migrated out of there. I went to work for one of my clients, which was a traditional exit route out of an accounting firm as you go to work for a client. I ended up moving on to then work for one other manufacturing company, which was a family-owned manufacturing business. And I think that experience for me, David, was very interesting. While I was employed with that company, I was also finishing my master's degree in a night program. And it was a combination of those two factors that really drove me to consider business ownership at that point in my career. I was working for a company that was family-owned. It was extremely progressive. And I saw the benefits that the family members had in that business, the flexibility, the freedom, and honestly, David, the income stream that they were deriving out of owning their own business. Coupled with that, in my night program, I started taking some entrepreneurship classes. And I was really struggling, David, because I was drawn to business ownership. When I was a kid, I told you before that my dad was a banker. But the other side of the family, my mom, she was a business owner. Since I was a little kid, my mom had owned a number of different businesses. And she wasn't at all afraid to delve into entrepreneurship, to try something new, to give it a shot. And so I think that's in my blood. And so as I was finishing my master's program, I took a class, and two students who had graduated a year earlier than me came back, and they gave a guest presentation on how they had gone out and purchased a business. And that, to me, was a light bulb, because I realized that with my skill set as an accountant, as a business guy, I can fix problems in businesses. And that was really my entree into business ownership. I spent the next year looking around for a business to buy, and I acquired my first business, which was a printing company. And David, I had no background in the printing industry at all, but I knew from looking at that business what the challenges were that that business was facing. They were all sales and business development related, and I was comfortable solving those problems. And so that started me on a path, David, that I've now been on for 16 years of business ownership. Over that time, David, I've owned businesses in six different industry spaces, some of them overlapping in time cycles, but they've all been businesses that shared a couple of common characteristics. Number one characteristic is they had significant growth potential. That, to me, is a real driver and a motivation for me. The second characteristic that they've all shared is they were all understandable businesses to me. They were businesses that were simple, easy to manage, and I really got them. But the third and most important characteristic for me, David, was all of those businesses facilitated me having a really good family, personal life mix along with my work life. I was able to mix my family time with my work time and manage that very effectively.
And in fact, you have owned franchises.
I have. So I'm currently a master franchise owner with Liberty Tax Service.
And what is
which is a business that I've been in since 2011.
I'm sorry, what is a master franchise
owner? So in a typical franchise system, David, so let's go back to the Subway example. There's a two-part relationship there where there is Subway as the franchise company and you as the franchise owner. And so you work directly with Subway in order to get any support that you need or services that you need. In a master franchise system, some systems have a need for more localized support, and they want to do that by having a local intermediary involved, and that is a master franchise owner. So, for example, at Liberty Tax, I purchased a large territory from Liberty Tax. I actually purchased 23 offices of area. My role as the master franchisee is to help find new franchise owners who want to take over one of those offices and then provide them with the training and the support that they need to get their business up and running. So it allows me to take a much more personalized approach to teaching and getting them into business and facilitating that. David, that's really, for me, a core of what I do right now is I really want to encourage people to be business owners. It's not crucial to me what path of business ownership people pursue. If they pursue buying an existing business, terrific. If they want to start a business, that's wonderful. If they want to buy a franchise, excellent. It doesn't matter to me which of these paths they take. What I want to do is I want to encourage people to take that step and do one of them. Because business ownership to me, David, has been an extremely rewarding experience for me. It's been, for me personally, very fulfilling. It's been professionally challenging. It's been financially good for my family. But most of all, it's given me the flexibility with my family. I have three young kids, David. And it's given me the flexibility to be here with them, to get them onto the school bus in the morning and off the school bus in the afternoon, to be at their basketball practices and their dance recitals, without having to worry about a busy travel schedule or meetings that I didn't schedule at that time. And so business ownership has provided me flexibility, and that's really what I want to encourage other people to be able to benefit from as well.
And I think that's where people start thinking about, how can this fit into my career, what I do, what my family life is all about, what I think about for business, what I want out of life, what I want out of my career. And so that's the question that people are probably questioning themselves right now on the radio, saying, is this for me?
This is This is the question that everybody comes to me to get answers to, right? For the last 15 years that I've been a business owner, I've had people approaching me who are friends and family. And they've been saying to me, Chris, help me to understand how I can do what you did. And so I will walk them through a process of helping them to understand what are the opportunities, how do we screen through them, and then let's take a look at the ones that appear most interesting to you, and let's really start to dig in and look at those. That's a process, David, that I've done really in an assortment of different ways over the years. I did it on a very casual basis for years with friends and family who would approach me, or people who got referred to me from my personal network. And I would work with them one-on-one to help them find opportunities. In some cases, David, I would say to them, I don't think this is right for you, and here's why. And some of those barriers might have been that they weren't properly capitalized. Some of those barriers might have been that their personal life at that point had some issue in it that it just wasn't the right time. But we made an appointment to come back when we overcame that hurdle. Okay? I started teaching entrepreneurship at Carnegie Mellon about 7 years ago, which was a second outlet for me of encouraging people to evaluate and to consider business ownership as their next career path. And then finally, for the last few years, I've been doing it on a very formalized basis with Franchoice, of helping people to evaluate specific franchise businesses and try to figure out which of those businesses is the right one for them at this point in their career path.
And I think that is the question, right? Because everybody is dealing with their individual situation and their individual challenges. And capital may or may not be something that they have, or maybe something that they can get a hold of, because it is going to require some sort of capital, even though I do know some of the franchisers certainly help with those situations. Where do you find the biggest concern from that aspect that people bring to the table?
So I think there's a couple of them, David. One of the big challenges that we always face in working with folks is they've got to figure out how to make the transition. So if you want to go from being an employee to being a business owner, the question is, are you going to do that gradually over time? So, for example, we talked earlier about a semi-absentee business like Supercuts. That's a business where the time commitment is 10 to 15 hours a week. That's it for the owner. And so you could easily do that while you are already employed. And so it allows you a gradual transition into the next phase of your career. There are other points in your career, David, where it might be a stopping point. Maybe you've been severed from your job. Maybe you've moved in and you've said, look, I don't want to move to Chicago. I want to stay living in the Northeast. Okay, that's a hard stopping point. Now maybe you move all at once with both feet into a franchise business. But I think those are very individual questions, David. Just as, you know, every single person, as you make big choices of moving, not moving, buying a house, not buying a house, this is another one of those big choices where you've got to evaluate it on the personal circumstances that you're in at that point. And those may be different a year from now, but it really has to get handled on a case-by-case basis.
We're talking with Chris Sincar. He is the Franchoice Consultant for Franchising. We are going to be coming right back on the HR Power Hour and wrapping up this chat.
Founded in 1958, Jackson Lewis is a national law firm with a local presence. The firm's 765 attorneys practicing in 54 locations throughout the U.S. and Puerto Rico provide a wide range of resources to address every aspect of the employer-employee relationship. HR professionals, business and in-house counsels, and C-suite professionals count on Jackson Lewis as it has one of the most active employee litigation practices in the United States. Contact them today at JacksonLewis.com. That's JacksonLewis.com.
If you're responsible for hiring and firing, you know it can be like a roulette wheel. If your new hire turns out to be a bad hire, well, all you've lost is time and money. Hello, I'm David Chulo of Career Management Associates. Don't gamble with your hiring. We have a better solution.
We've helped hundreds of companies like yours find the right talent, and we guarantee it. Career Management Associates delivers people that fit. Go to cmacareer.com.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour presented by cmacareer.com. And today we've been talking with Chris Sinkar. He is the franchise consultant, talking about franchising and whether that is a possible career for you. Chris, we have really had 45, 50 minutes here of talking about why somebody might get into it, what this might be as an option for people, what some of the barriers are, some of the misconceptions. We've kind of talked all about these different areas. Let me just ask a very simple question. How can you help somebody in this area?
David, it's my passion to help people. You know, as I said in the last segment, I really want people to consider business ownership because I believe in my heart, David, they'll be happier, they'll be more fulfilled with their career choice if they own their own business. So what I really like to do with people who are considering business ownership is I just want to have a conversation with them. And in that conversation, what I really want to understand is who are they? What are their goals professionally, personally? What are they trying to get to? Those questions, that conversation really helped me to understand if I think that business ownership is the right option for them, and if I think what path of business ownership, whether that's buying an existing business, starting a company, buying a franchise, which of those paths I think is most appropriate for them. And then I encourage them to pursue potentially multiple of those paths, but probably one of them in earnest. And I really try to guide them step by step through that process.
When somebody comes to you, is this something that they're going to have to pay for from a consultant standpoint? People will be concerned. What is this going to cost me?
The nice part about the way that I'm able to work, David, is I work in a very similar way to how real estate agents work. So we've talked before about going to look for a house. When you and your wife go to look for a house, David, you realize that that real estate agent is doing work for you. They're helping you. They're guiding you to find houses. They're guiding you to look through them, to do due diligence, to make an offer. But at the end of the day, you don't have to pay them because they get paid by the seller of that house. Exactly the same circumstance happens in my franchise advisory business, David. I will help people to guide them through a process of identifying businesses that are potentially the right one for them, helping them through an entire investigation process, helping them to decide if that's the right business for them, and then if it is, I will eventually get paid a referral fee by the franchise company, never by the person that I'm working with. So the service that I offer is completely free and has no obligation to it at all.
So why franchise? There's a lot of different organizations out there that talk about franchising. What makes them the one that is probably the premier one in the industry?
David, I think what you'll find with franchise is there's really two characteristics that drive the success of our organization. The first of those characteristics is we've been around doing this since the year 2000. We have a long track record of being able to evaluate franchise businesses and then partner with those companies that are honestly the most attractive franchising options in the industry. We've been able to develop criteria to screen through them and really be able to represent the best companies. So that's the one first differentiator is we represent the best brands. The second piece is, David, I'm part of a really spectacular group of consultants spread around the country. The quality of my peer group at Franchoice is simply unmatched in the industry, and it's because we are really chosen to be Franchoice consultants. This is not an organization that you can sign up for. It's an organization that you are basically hand-chosen for. And so the quality of the organization is extremely high throughout the entire consultant base.
You know, we've taken a good hour here to talk about why franchising might be right for a career for you. What are some last-minute things that you want to make sure that people know from this segment today as we wrap up here?
So, David, I think a couple of key takeaways. Number one is franchising allows you to pursue business ownership by taking on a manageable amount of risk. That's the first piece. This is a relatively low-risk way to get into business for yourself. The second piece, there are options out there for everybody. Industry, investment level, owner's role in the business, time commitment, it doesn't matter what issues are important to you, what barriers are out there. There is such an array of franchising options that there is something out there that will match every person who is interested in pursuing this. And the third piece is, for those people who are still employed and like the safety of that paycheck, like the safety of the benefits that they get, I want them to realize that there are options for them too, that they can grab on to a semi-absentee business, that they can operate that business on a part-time basis, and it can provide them over time with a transition point into business ownership on a full-time basis, or it can always just be a secondary income for them.
If somebody is interested in learning more about the organization of Franchoice and connecting with you, they certainly can go to the HR Power Hour website after this radio broadcast, or they can reach you at what email?
My email, David, and it's one of those crazy names, so I'm going to spell it out for you. My email address is ccynkar@franchoice.com. Again, ccynkar@franchoice.com.
Great. Thank you so much, Chris, for being on the show today. I'm sure that you provided information where people who haven't even thought about this as an option, that they can move forward and give it some consideration. I appreciate it. And, of course, I look forward to seeing you soon.
Thank you, David. My pleasure.
And now your HR tip of the week. Does your company have a company blanket policy that says, our company will not hire anyone with a criminal conviction? The reason this is a problem is that blanketed policies regarding criminal convictions can have a disparate impact on protected classes, and many violate federal, state, and local laws. It is strongly recommended for employers to follow the EEOC guidance from April 25, 2012. In that guidance, the EEOC reiterates its position that the employer cannot simply disparage any applicant who has been convicted of a crime. However, according to the EEOC guidance, employers should evaluate how the specific criminal conduct relates to the duties of a particular position. That's your HR tip of the week. Next week on the HR Power Hour, Julie Rabinowitz, the Director of Communications and Operations for the Maine Department of Labor, will be back to talk about the next legislative session. There's a whole bunch of different bills that are coming across and going through the legislative process right now. This has to do with the minimum wage. This has to do with workforce data quality initiatives. A lot of things that can affect you and our businesses. That's on the next HR Power Hour. Thank you for listening, and catch us every week at 10 a.m. on News Talk WLOB 1310 a.m. or streaming live on WLOBradio.com. Podcasts of this show and every show are available at HRPowerHour.com. Have a great week, everyone, and remember, HR management is critical to your business's success.